right, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to a very special episode of the Copy Blogger Podcast. This is the what we'll call the Father's Day edition. And we're going to call it that because Tim and I accidentally scheduled to record on this day without realizing that it was Father's Day. And of course, of the two of us, he is the only one who's a dad. So as soon as it came time to record, we realized that it wasn't going to work. And so I am instead going to do a quick solo edition, and we're going to try this as a new format for when things accidentally come up and we realize one of us needs to record. We're going to call this Ethan's Half-Baked Ideas, and here's how it's going to work. So for anybody who doesn't know how the podcast typically goes, Tim and I go through the course of our weeks, really pretty much doing our own things. He runs his companies. I have a job and help build this company called Hampton, and I do my research on newsletters on the side. And then we typically sit down either Friday or Sunday with a list of things that have happened to us through the course of the week, whether that's stories we've noticed or lessons that we've learned, something like that. And we'll usually just hash through them. But there's not a lot of planning that goes into that. Basically, we both have like a drop file where throughout the course of the week, we drop ideas and we sit down and it's kind of like, hey, what sounds interesting to you? What do you want to talk about? What's timely? A lot of it's kind of done on the spot. So this week, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to run you through some of the things that were on my list. Now, typically, this was a normal episode. Maybe one or two of these would have gotten into the show, but since I'm solo and he can't stop me, I'm just going to talk about all of them. So this will be a little bit of a shorter episode, but what I do have is I have three interesting things that I want to talk about. The first is a cool creator shout out, and this one comes with an opportunity, I think, an opportunity to do a new kind of newsletter. So we'll talk about that. And then I have sort of an interesting case study I want to get into about affiliate marketing. An approach that I haven't seen before until now. And then we'll close with a creator spotlight, talk about some interesting data on conversion for newsletters and how to grow them. So still going to be plenty in here for you. I won't have my typical co-pilot along for the ride, but he will be back next week. We'll be back to the normal programming. And you can let us know if you like this, because it'd be helpful if we could record a couple like this and just have them, you know, in our backlog in case things ever do come up and we just need an episode that we can, you know, run without having two people there. So let us know what you think of this. In the meantime, you're stuck with me. Welcome along for the ride. So for people listening to this, as usual, you don't have to watch the video. I am going to go ahead and share my screen for most of it, though. And I'll just talk you through what it is I'm actually looking at. So this drop file, and the file is just called Cool Shit. And I don't know if anybody else who runs a newsletter here, you've probably got one of these. It's the Google Docs folder. It just sits in my bookmarks bar. And it's got a couple of headings. And then under each of those headings, there's just a bunch of bullets. And this is literally how I have run pretty much all my content development for the last several years, ever since starting to work for Trends. This was a method that Steph Smith first showed me. And it's kind of helpful for a few reasons. One is, you know, when you do when you're running a newsletter, the research is really only one part of what you do throughout the course of the day. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. And it's quite common to run across things that would go good in a story while you're doing something completely different. It's real hard to like keep stories organized in individual documents when you're dealing with the chaos of a day. So instead, you use this drop file. And as you start to notice things, you just drop them in the file. And eventually, you'll have enough mass built around something to sit down and write it as a story. So I got into the habit of doing this way back then, and it's been super helpful ever since. It's also pretty simple, too. I think people tend to overthink things like organization and content development. And really, the reality is you just need to have places to trap ideas. So inside this document for people listening, there's four sections. Most of them are actually not relevant to the podcast. I've got people that I want to profile, media companies to break down, topics for the newsletter, And then the last one is stuff for Copy Blogger Pod. And the reason I'm going through this is maybe it's helpful to kind of understand how this works behind the scenes. Because I'm responsible for a few different media properties throughout the course of the week, I've just got them all listed here. And things that I think would fit in each just get dropped in as bullets. So we're going to start with stuff for the Copy Blogger Pod. I've got a couple of different things, and let's dive into it. I want to start with a shout out. This is how we typically open our episodes as well. Obviously, there's a bunch of great people who listen to this podcast. We always love hearing from you. And I wanted to shout one out who got in touch recently. So this is Miguel Correa. And I'm Miguel, I'm not sure if I'm mispronouncing your last name, so sorry if I'm butchering it. But he is at Sircon, S-I-R-C-O-N, on Twitter. Reached out recently just to say hey and mentioned that he listened to the pod, and that was awesome. And I was looking at his profile, and he's up to some pretty cool stuff. So he built and sold a newsletter called the IPO Brief, which was basically a newsletter about companies that had filed to go public. And we'll get into this in a second, but this is where I think there's some interesting opportunity. And I've thought about this for a long time. I'm glad there's finally an opportunity to bring it up. But if you look at this IPO brief, and the website is ipobrief.email, go to the homepage. It looks great. It says, receive IPO insights in your inbox. Join over 3,000 people who receive handpicked insights on soon-to-be IPO companies in their inbox every week. So I'm just guessing here because I haven't read this before, but what I'm guessing is that they probably pulled forms from the SEC. So there's a file. I can't remember exactly what the name of the form is, but whenever you want to take a company public, there's a specific form that you have to file, and you basically file it with the SEC, and that's all a matter of public record. And you can actually go to SEC. They have a database called the EDGAR database. We used to use it a ton at Trends. Not so much for IPO filings, but because those same public companies also file quarterly and annual reports. And they file other things too. Like if there's shareholders at the company who are classified as insiders, I don't remember exactly what the classification is, but it's typically like either a certain amount of stock or something about their position would give them a certain amount of information. I forget what it is, but there's an SEC designation for an insider. And when insiders buy and sell stock in the company, they actually have to file that. So when you hear about insider trading, there's a version of insider trading that's like legal and well-documented. It's when insiders buy and sell stock in their own companies. And you can also find that inside the EDGAR database. And I'm mentioning all of this because I think I have long thought there's an interesting opportunity for a newsletter here. At Trends, we used to, like I said, mine all this data, and then we would basically like read people's reports and combine it with a whole bunch of other market research in order to come up with some possibilities around different business opportunities that might be looming. I'll give you a more specific example. So let's take insider trading, right? I would look at a list of all the recent biggest insider trades that were taking place inside of a company. And I would look for certain signals. So like if a whole bunch of executives at a certain company bought stock recently, then I might look at that and say, well, that's interesting. There's really only one reason you ever buy a stock. There's tons of reasons to sell it, right? But there's only one reason you buy it. And the reason that you buy it is you think it's going to go up. So if a whole bunch of people at a company were buying its their own stock, I might look at that and say, that's interesting. And then I would go into their quarterly and annual reports and say, well, what's going on at the company that might indicate that there's like cause for optimism? And then take some of those insights and then look more broadly across the industry and say, how is this industry moving and where might there be opportunities? So if people at this company are optimistic, where might there be other interesting opportunities? That's an example of taking data, curating data, then layering on extra research. And I think that was sort of the same thing they were doing at IPO Insights here. And I bring it up because I have always thought that there would be a great opportunity to do this exact same thing with a strict inside trade newsletter. So here's what I would do. If it were me, this is exactly what I would do. I would create a free newsletter that programmatically goes to the SEC's Edgar database and just pulls the biggest inside trades of, I think they're published weekly, if I remember correctly. Either daily or weekly. I would just pull those trades, and then I would send, say, I don't know, the top 10. Again, programmatically to subscribers. So it would be something like, hey, subscribe here to see the biggest inside trades of the week. And that's it. Very, very simple promise. Very, very simple free newsletter. I think people would sign up for that. And I think you'd be able to drive a pretty good list around that just from people who are like interested in staying in the loop on trading. It's just a guess, but people would sign up for that. I think you could build in some other interesting insights that, again, are pretty much done on autopilot. For example, you could take like the three biggest insider, the three companies with the biggest inside trades, and then pull some other data about, like, you know, how was their profit last quarter? Or, I don't know, maybe what other major trades have happened at the company? Just other kinds of things that you could pull programmatically and insert into that free newsletter so that you're not investing a ton of effort into it. But it is interesting, especially to people who are trying to track that. So that's where I would start. And I would then do two things. If you could grow that list, and if you're into trading, you could write it yourself from your own personality. But I actually think you could grow this pretty hands-off. So if you could grow that list, then you could start to advertise against it. That would be really valuable because you're talking to traders, and that's a really valuable target market. There are companies like Motley Fool and stuff who will pay a lot of money to get in front of audiences like that if you build it right. And then if you really love nerding out on the research, I would build maybe either probably a front-end product, which would be something like in the $50 to $100 a year range, where you're diving deeper onto those insights in the way that I just mentioned. We did at Trends, and publishing a more detailed research brief on those big ones, say once a week or something like that. I think this is just a guess, but I think you could pretty easily turn that into a 6 to 7 figure company, especially if you follow the other frameworks that we talk about a lot on this podcast. So anyways, that was a long diversion just to shout out Miguel and say that what he did with IPO Brief was really cool. I think there's still an opportunity to do something similar to that, but focused on a different type of transaction rather than IPOs. I would go inside trades or quarterly reports, annual reports, something like that. You could kind of replicate that model over and over again. But I wanted to also shout out real quick what he's up to today, because this is super cool for anybody who currently runs a newsletter. So he's also working on a company called Sponsy, S-P-O-N-S-Y. And on Twitter, they are at Get Sponsy. And what this is like a platform specifically to manage ad deals inside of, I think, newsletters. I'm not sure if it's good for podcasts or not. I haven't used this yet, but what I have done is I have done some basic ad sales myself over at Hampton. We've handled some of that so far. I also did a bunch of research into how our ad sale team managed sales at The Hustle several years back. And what's really interesting is that up until maybe a year or two ago, I'm not sure there was a great solution for people like The Hustle who were doing, say, 6, 7, maybe 8 figures in revenue via ad deals through a non-traditional medium. There wasn't a ton of like CRMs out there that were perfect for that or ad inventory managers. I can tell you for a fact, we used to manage all of our ad inventory inside of a single Excel spreadsheet. Just had like the date down the left-hand column and then like slots for each ad slot. And it kind of got like manually updated and it was linked to a bunch of other things. But when you go ahead and sell ads in a newsletter, it's tricky because there's a lot of back and forth that can take place with a client, right? They want to know about your newsletter, so you have to tell them about your audience and success and all that kind of stuff. Then if they buy, they have to pay you, they have to get you creative assets, they have to get you ad copy potentially, or if your team writes the ad copy, you have to get it and then run it by them. There's a whole bunch of back and forth. There's actually a lot that gets tracked inside of that. And then, of course, once the ad runs, there's reporting as well. So it's a pretty hands-on process. Very cool to see somebody building a tool that streamlines this. We've talked about one other tool called Passion Fruit that does something similar. And I think people who are kind of in this space should definitely check them both out, Sponsy and Passion Fruit. So there's increasingly, I guess what I'm calling out here is that there are more and more tools that can help you with this process if you're a creator. And I don't have to hammer home how helpful that is. If you're out there selling ads, you know that this is cool. So anyways, that's a cool opportunity, cool creator, guy who listens to the show. So Miguel, thanks for getting in touch, man. Thanks for listening too. And to anybody else out there, we'd love to hear from you guys. So let us know. If you're listening, you can hit me up on Twitter. I'm at DamnEthan. All right, moving on. I wanted to talk about an interesting thing that I saw this week. And this is from a buddy of mine, Matt McGarry. His Twitter handle is at JMatthewMcGarry. And if you don't know Matt yet, he is a newsletter growth operator. He runs a company called GrowLetter, which basically specializes in driving really efficient growth for newsletters, specifically via Facebook ads, TikTok ads, and I think they do one other type of ad. But Matt and I worked together at The Hustle, and he essentially left, I think, a few months before I did, went out freelance, and started helping a bunch of other companies as well. So he helped grow Milk Road. He's helped grow Daily Upside, Charter, Gist, 1440. These are newsletters that we have profiled here on the show. And, you know, if you know a lot of these names, you know that they're big. So the Milk Road grew to like 250,000 subscribers in a year, something like that. And then sold for what I believe was a seven-figure exit. 1440 is, I think, up over 2 million subscribers. Yeah, that's, if you go to their homepage, it'll show you that they get like 2.5 million opens a day or something like that. So these are big, heavy-hitting newsletters. Matt really knows his stuff when it comes to advertising. And he's got a bunch of cool information. I highly recommend you follow him on Twitter if you're into this world. But the thing that I wanted to call out was he did something interesting on Twitter the other day. And I'm just going to read it. So there's a tweet here. It says, giveaway. I'm giving everybody who buys Beehive with my link three things for free. He's going to give them a 30-minute coaching call on newsletter growth, Facebook ads for newsletter course, and Beehive growth course. And those things are combined to value at like $550. Okay, why did this catch my eye? A lot of us do affiliate marketing in this world. In fact, we've talked about this on the show before as well. There's a few ways to make money through ads. You can sell sponsorships, like I mentioned literally earlier on this show, or you can do affiliate marketing. And one of the benefits of affiliate marketing is that for the most part, it's very passive. Once you become an affiliate with a company, there's not a ton that they care about. Well, I should say this more carefully. It's easier to start there because they don't care about the size of your audience as much. Affiliates pay you every time you sell their product. So you could literally have one subscriber. They don't care. If you can get that subscriber to buy from them, they'll pay you. So it's an easier place to start for people. And then a lot of it is self-serve. So I'm not sure about Beehive's program. I haven't looked into it myself. But Amazon's probably the most famous one. Like, you just sign up. There's also affiliate sort of aggregators like Share a Sale is one. The others are escaping me right now, but you can basically go to these platforms where there are many affiliate programs and you can apply to several, or you can sign up for the ones that best fit your audience, best the products that you think your readers are most interested in. It's a lot easier in some ways than reaching out to companies and selling ads. And the last thing I'll say about it is that it can be a really great stepping stone to a more formal advertising relationship. So if you have a company that you love that has an affiliate program and you want to start selling them ads, sometimes the best thing to do is to sign up for their affiliate program, like run that a few times, track the performance, and then reach out to them and say, hey, here's the data on what my performance has been. I think there's really something here. Like, let's talk about a more formal relationship. Very often, that's going to open a lot of doors for you. So I call this out in particular because I've never seen an affiliate use this approach where he's not just saying, sign up with my link, right? He's saying, if you sign up with my link, I'm going to give you three things from my world that you might value that are going to like add, here's three more reasons to sign up, but to sign up using my link as opposed to any other one. This is super interesting to me because one of the biggest things that affiliate marketing struggles with is attribution. Like, say you get a podcast like Tim Ferriss, right? And he'll say, what's the big one? Athletic Greens, right? Everybody here, that's a great example because everybody is sponsored by Athletic Greens. They have the most incredible creator program I think I've ever seen. But if you're listening to Huberman and Joe Rogan and Tim Ferriss, you're going to hear about Athletic Greens like 1,000 times, right? Which one of those guys are you going to actually buy from? And what's most likely is that maybe you'll go to one of their affiliate links to purchase if you really care about the travel size pack or the free vitamin D or whatever. But what often ends up happening to affiliates is like you hear about the thing 1,000 times from them, and then one day you're just like, you know what? I'm going to try Athletic Greens. So you just go to athleticgreens.com and you buy it. And it's really hard for affiliate marketers to drive people to use their link. Originally, the idea of the offer was you were supposed to get like a special offer through the affiliates. But affiliate advertising has become so effective and so popular that I think it's pretty safe to say that for the most part, listeners know that when they hear an affiliate offer, they're pretty much just getting the same thing they could get from any other creator. You know, like Athletic Greens is another is a good example for this too. People listening to this show, you can probably tell me exactly what the bonus offers are for Athletic Greens, no matter who you listen to it from, right? It's like X number of free travel packs and a free year's supply of vitamin D. It's the same across the board. It's really hard to customize those for different creators. So what I like about this is that Matt is now leaning in with his own value add to get you to use his link. And the way he actually did this was smart. He basically said, here's how you do it. Join with the affiliate link below, purchase any plan, then forward your receipt to me, and I will make sure you get this special offer. So he's taking it on himself to add the extra value. But I think I can't wait to see the value on this or the data on how this performs. I think this is going to be great. And I reached out to him and I said, hey, man, I got a couple questions. First of all, why are you doing this? Why did you decide to do it like in this way with these particular products? I think I had a third question. I can't remember what it was. But as for the why, he said it's because Beehive offers like a 50% affiliate rate for the first 12 months, I think it is. So he makes a pretty good amount of money off of his Beehive affiliate partnership. And he uses Beehive a ton. Like I said, he helped grow Milk Road. Milk Road was built on Beehive. So he's like, he uses it a lot and trusts the tool. Currently, they're offering like some sort of prize to their top affiliate, and he's number two, and he's like only $300 behind the person who's right in front of him. So that was the original impetus to get this rolling. But it's an interesting, I thought it was an interesting piece of information. Like I said, I've never seen this execution before. I like it a lot. I'm going to file this away in my own mind for when I start doing more affiliate style marketing. And oh, also just good to know that, like, hey, if you use Beehive and love them, they've got a killer affiliate program. So anyways, all that to say, very interesting thing here. Wanted to shout it out. Go check Matt out. And if you're whatever shopping for newsletter stuff, there's a cool way to get some value add. Actually, I probably should spend a little bit more time on this. Let's just take 1 second to look at the prizes that he offered, right? A 30-minute coaching call, a course on Facebook ads, and a course on Beehive growth. Those are valuable, especially coming from him. But what I wanted to point out for listeners of this show is, like, that's super interesting. You should think about how you could develop these valuable assets that you could temporarily layer on to your affiliate links in order to push more people to them. The 30-minute coaching call feels like kind of a heavy lift. But the courses, I mean, those already, once you've already got them up, it doesn't cost you anything to add that. So I thought this was a cool implementation, and I hope you liked it too. All right. That brings us to the third segment, and we're getting close to the end here. Typically, when we... Oh, actually, we just started this last week, but what I said was I want us to start doing more creator spotlights. And what I mean by this is I want to start highlighting more people who not just listen to the show, because we start the show that way, and that's cool, but who are just like out there doing cool stuff that we stumble across. And the one that I wanted to highlight this week is a guy named London Matthews. Came across his work because he actually replied to a tweet that I had sent that we actually talked about on this show last week. So last week, if you remember, I broke down a bunch of email capture forms that are common to major newsletters like The Hustle, Morning Brew, 1440, Charter, etc. So we spent time going through some of those. I wrote that up as a tweet thread a few days after the show, sent it out. And London zeroed in on this one tip that I had noticed, which is that a lot of these newsletters, they have a call to action that really hammers home on the idea that you can join the newsletter for free. So a lot of, if you look at like a lot of email captures, people will say like, hey, get our newsletter. And then there'll be an email field and it'll say like, sign me up or, you know, try it or something like that. What I noticed across a lot of these bigger newsletters, though, is that they really hone in on this idea that the newsletter is free. You're going to get it for free. And I hadn't thought about that before, but it makes sense. I mean, you don't always realize, it's not always clear to somebody that what you're offering them is free, especially when you have like a more robust media company. Like if you were to land on the New York Times, you would kind of assume any sign up there you'd have to pay for. So London zeroed in on this and he said, nice find with the join free. And he said, I'm making that change now to see if it lowers our CAC on paid ads, customer acquisition cost on paid ads. And then he got back in touch the next day to just share some one-day results. So back when his old call to action was subscribe, he ran a test. Now, these are fairly small numbers, but they are, it is interesting data nonetheless. And so I'm really glad that he shared this. With subscribe, ran a test, 53 total views, 28% conversion rate. When he changed that to join free, 36 total views, 41% conversion rate. So the conversion rate inside of a day went from about 28% to 41%. Again, relatively small in terms of viewers, but very interesting nonetheless to note. And he even made a note of this. He says, not saying it's enough data to show, but it seems pretty substantial for such a minor change. So that was really cool. So I took a look at the newsletter that he's building, and he's building a newsletter called Get Ramen, which is essentially like a creator newsletter focused on how to get ramen profitable. So if you're not familiar with this term yet, it's kind of a term from like the indie hacker community. These are people who like build their own software companies from scratch. They get all their own clients. And the goal is really to build like a SaaS company that can support your lifestyle, potentially get bigger, maybe even sell something like that. But you start in, on your own and you kind of like piece it together on your own. One of the big benchmarks from that world is when you're finally, quote unquote, ramen profitable, which is like you're making enough money to cover the costs of the business every month and like barely feed yourself. So it's a big benchmark. It's a cool name for a newsletter. And the thing that I asked him, and here's what I just wanted to follow up with, is I said, you know, the newsletter looks really cool. How are you driving those page views? Because like I said, he, you know, driven like 53 views one day, 36 views the next. Always interesting to know how people who are like kind of just starting the newsletter are doing that. And he said a couple of things. So number one, found a winning meta ad. So Facebook ad or something like that. Number two, recommendations on Beehive. Number three, recommendations on Swapstack. Number four, emailing / DMs to everyone I know. Number five, Twitter posts and comments. The goal is to grow the list without regard to cost if the open rate stays above 40% and unsubscribes below 1%. And then I'll get into a little bit more data. He also said current average cost per acquisition is below $2 for a highly engaged reader. The nice thing about Beehive is also that about a quarter of the readers sign up for one of my other recommended signups after joining his email list. So he makes roughly 80% on every fourth subscriber. And I'll explain that in just a second. Finally, he says the goal is to grow the list to over 1,000 subs before introducing a paid community. Okay, so a couple of really interesting things here so far. First, I'll explain the recommendations on Beehive and Swapstack. For anybody who doesn't know about these, one thing that's becoming more common as a way of getting people onto your newsletter platform is platforms like Beehive and now even ConvertKit have built-in recommendation engines that allow you to network with other writers, have them recommend your newsletter, and you're basically growing through that referral network. And people rave about this. They're growing incredibly fast. And in some cases, you can even make money for it. So if you, say, have a newsletter, and then you say to three different writers, hey, I will advertise your newsletter on my recommendation page, you get X amount of money every time somebody signs up for their newsletter. It's basically it's an affiliate deal. You get X dollars every time somebody signs up for their newsletter via your feed. So what he's saying here is he's using recommendations on Beehive and Swapstack. I'm actually not familiar with Swapstack as much, so I think that might just be where people go in order to do newsletter swaps, which is where you mention somebody else in your newsletter. Slightly different thing. But the recommendations on Beehive is this thing. And then he says, the great thing is that a lot of the readers that he's getting sign up for the people that he recommends. So he's actually getting paid on the back end of his signups. So the money that he's spending on ads is coming back to him, right? Because you spend the money to get an advertiser, or you spend the money on an ad. Spend money on an ad, you get a reader in, and then there's like a 1 in 4 chance they sign up for somebody else. And if they do, you get money for that too. So it's like it helps to defer the cost of your own advertising. So it's a really cool system he's got going here. I was looking at his Twitter, and it looks like they just hit 200 subscribers inside of, I think, 2 weeks. Just pretty good, growing a pretty good clip for a brand new newsletter. So excited to watch this one. London, congratulations. And for the people who are listening to this, I hope this was helpful in terms of the interesting data on that call to action. If you have a newsletter out there, maybe consider switching your call to action so that it focuses more on the fact that the newsletter is free. And then also just the different ways that he's growing. Thought that was a really interesting thing. So I'm going to link to all this in the show notes. You can check it out. And like I said, London, thanks for getting in touch, and congratulations and good luck. So the last thing I'll say, if you like that last segment, was we dove into way more detail on this in last week's episode. I can get the title of that real quick. Copybloggerpod.com. That's where it is. And it says case study, how the hustle and other newsletters maximize email capture. So if you go back and listen to that, we'll go deeper on the call to action. We'll go deeper on a framework that we call either the CatP framework or the PCAT framework. You'll understand more about that if you listen to the show. And then Tim actually even drags out some data from a test that he ran on the Copyblogger, or I think it was Sober Nation, but very interesting data there. So it's a great episode. There's a bunch of insights for people who are trying to grow newsletters, trying to grow email lists. Hope you check it out. Otherwise, go check out copybloggerpod.com if you want to sign up to get notifications about the show. That is all I've got. I can't believe that was more than 20 minutes. which is great. If you enjoyed this, let me know. Let us know. Like I said, it's kind of an experimental framework. Ethan's half-baked ideas. Otherwise, thanks for listening. Check out the website, and we'll see you next week. Oh, and I should just say to all the dads out there, Happy Father's Day. Later.